The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC alongside Shaka Hislop. I'm Sebastian Salazar. Great to have you with us here in the studio. Shaka, we got a wide-ranging conversation coming up in a little bit about Barcelona, about the current crisis and maybe some potential fixes. But let's start by welcoming in a few others to the show. Joining us, Frank LeBeuf, Stuart Robson, and Julien Laurent, all of whom are watching all 16 games today in the Europa League. No, we're not going to cover all 16. We'll start with Manchester United's 4-0 win over Real Sociedad. This match played in Turin. Bruno Fernandes with a couple goals. Marcus Rashford added one. Daniel James as well. Bravo, I'll start with you. This was supposed to be the standout tie of the round of 32. What happened? Manchester United dominant.
Well, they certainly were. But if you said to Real Sociedad, play in a manner that gives Manchester United every chance of winning the game, that's exactly what Real Sociedad did. They played with a high line. They played with a back four that was spread all across the field. They tried to press in midfield and they got played around. And every time a Manchester United player, and they got some pace up front, you have to say that, and they're good on the counter-attack, every time they made a run in behind, it looked as though they were going to get in. Rashford, right from the start of the game, got in a couple of times and should have done better. Bruno Fernandes, who was playing in the number 10 role, kept on running in between their defenders and getting 1v1 against the goalkeeper. James was doing exactly the same, Greenwood. So Real Sociedad just didn't play well at all. They were poor defensively, and Manchester United made the most of it.
Jules, we talked about this, I think it was on yesterday's show, Ale Moreno discussing the issues that Spanish teams are having in European competition. How do we explain it?
I think for me it's the lack of intensity that you find in La Liga this season. It's quite crazy to see Sevilla yesterday against Dortmund, Real Sociedad again tonight, and Barcelona of course on Tuesday night. Whether they didn't prepare those games well enough, or I think more importantly and deeper, the issue is that I don't think the intensity in La Liga, which was never one of the great assets of that league anyway, I don't think it's been there this season, apart from maybe Atletico Madrid. And I'm really curious to see and can't wait to see the game against Chelsea, talking about intensity. But for me, that's where the problem was. And I agree with Robo. I don't understand how Real Sociedad thought that was a good idea to play that way against this United side, where we all knew exactly where they were good at. And that's exactly what they did.
Frank, bit of a broken record, but the difference today in a lot of ways for Manchester United down to Bruno Fernandes. Those two goals really set the pace.
Yeah, he did what he had to do, and I'm very pleased that he shows to the world that, because people were wondering, you know, under big games, you know, he will show his talent, and he did today, if we can consider that was a big game. But overall, you know, again, it's the same, always the same thing with everybody. Everybody's going to talk about Mbappe scoring 3 goals, Fernandes scoring 2 goals, and being both exceptional. But you have to underline again, for Manchester United, the two midfield players in the middle of the park, Fred and McTominay, and also Harry Maguire, having a fantastic game. And without that, you know, I'm not sure that Bruno Fernandes would have done the job. Like, without some other players for Paris Saint-Germain, Mbappe would have scored a hat-trick. We have to stop to think individuals in football now. We have to think collective, because football is a collective sport. Manchester United showed today that they were united, if I can say that, comparing to Real Sociedad, who didn't play together. That's the big difference. And when you play together, United, you make a difference.
United, your favourite, Shaka, to win the Europa League?
It's a long way to go. Still a lot of good teams in this competition. But right now, on the face of it, United certainly seems strongest. And that's despite some of their own stumblings in the league over recent weeks. But when they've been at their best, and we've seen, they're as good as anybody left in the competition.
All right, one match we haven't mentioned yet, Spurs winning 4-1 against Wolfsburger of Austria. Really, though, the story in this one, Gareth Bale not only gets a start, gets a goal, and gets an assist. Bravo, maybe there is a light at the end of the Gareth Bale tunnel.
Well, he played well today, and his first assist was a good cross with his right foot, which actually gave him the chance to score the second goal. Because he'd hit it so early with his right foot, the next time the defender went out there to close him down, he threw himself into the tackle. Gareth Bale chopped it back onto his left foot and then smashed it across the goalkeeper. So he played quite well in that first half. He found a bit of space, he grew in confidence, and he got better as the game wore on. And that's the best I've seen him play in a Spurs shirt, because in some of the other games, he's been pretty poor and anonymous.
Jules, we buried Bale on the show last week. Were we too quick? Did he show you something today?
First time since 2018, I think, that he has a goal and an assist in a European Cup game. I still think that there might be something there. Of, you know, Wolfsburg were really poor, I thought, and they're not to the level of a Premier League side. But why can't he get maybe a little run in the Premier League and see what happens? There's a position there on the right-hand side. We saw Bergwijn, we saw Lucas, we saw Lamela recently. I think Bale can be there with Kane and Son and Dombele and see what happens for Mourinho. But it feels still that there's something between him and Mourinho right now that just doesn't cut it, and I don't think he would get that chance in the Premier League.
Chaka, do we give Mourinho some credit here? It seemed like last week the door was closed between these two. He's opened it up, given Bale another opportunity, and he makes a pay.
It works, and the only thing, in my opinion, we've learned about Gareth Bale is that if we were playing in Austria, he would absolutely tear it up. aside from that, what we've seen from Gareth Bale in a Spurs shirt otherwise is leaves you scratching your head. And as much as he comes in and does well here, at least he offers Mourinho the option of rotating his squad in the Europa League and resting some of his usual picks. I don't think Gareth Bale starts against West Ham on the weekend. And that says all you need to know about his performance in the, 65, 68 minutes that he played today.
There you go. Another game for us to keep an eye on, Arsenal and Benfica. This one ended up final score 1-1, a game played in Rome. Robbo, what happened to Arsenal today? They got a good response after they let in the goal, but other than that, a lot of chances, very little action.
Well, I thought actually Arsenal for the first 30 minutes completely dominated the game. They played some really good football. They got it from into the front areas really well, but their final pass and their finishing wasn't good enough. Aubameyang missed a golden opportunity after about half an hour where he could have just side-footed it into the corner and missed the target completely. They made poor decisions in that final third. But up to that point, I thought the movement was good. The sort of a combination between the right-hand side players, Saka and Bellerin, who was coming in field. But after that 30 minutes when they hadn't scored, they started to deteriorate. They didn't play quite so well and they got frustrated. But they were still a better team than Benfica.
Jules, Arsenal 10th in the league out of both domestic cups. We saw Arteta basically roll out the exact same lineup he did against Leeds. How big is this tournament for Arsenal?
I think it's huge. I think they will qualify. They were. I agree with Robert. They were clearly the better side. I think they were quite lucky to be just 1-1, and I expect them to qualify. And then again, it depends a lot on the draw. But I think they could be really strong in this tournament. And it's clearly the only way they can qualify for the Champions League next season is to win this. There will be other big clubs, and I don't know if they can go all the way, but I think they will have a chance. And clearly, the fact that he played the same team as he did against Leeds on last weekend, especially 3 days before the City clash at the Emirates on Sunday, shows you which competition is the priority. Otherwise, you keep that team to play City. You don't play them on Thursday because they're not going to play again on Sunday. So clearly that shows you the mindset of Arteta as well going into this game.
Frank, Arsenal fans were probably feeling great about Aubameyang after his performance on the weekend. He gets the hat trick. And then today, at least three really clear chances and he couldn't convert one.
Yeah, exactly. We thought that he was back to its best, where we know that he knows how to do, and he didn't do it. He didn't produce. He had at least really two clear chances to score and completely missed, especially the first one, missed the target. So that was very poor performance from him, even if I really think, like my two colleagues, that Arsenal at least deserve a draw, because I think we can talk about the penalty against them. I think it wasn't a penalty. But going back to Aubameyang, you know, I want him to be more involved into the game and, of course, finish in a better score, you know, all the goals that he can score.
Robbo, what's going on with Aubameyang?
Well, today I thought his movement was quite good. He kept on running in behind. He timed most of his runs quite well. He was playing right on that offside line all the time. He was threatening the back. He went out to the left-hand side. But it was his finishing, as Frank just said, that was so poor. There was one in the second half where he's through 1v1 with the goalkeeper. And it shows a lack of confidence because he could have just passed it into the corner. And then he tried to turn it back across the defender. The defender got back and got a block. And the chance was wasted. So Aubameyang's not playing with full confidence at the moment. I don't think he's quite at his sharpest. But I thought his movement today was quite good.
16 games Thursday in the Europa League. Here's a look at all your results. Some crazy late action. Late equalizer from Red Star Belgrade as they got the 2-2 against AC Milan. Leicester ends up in a scoreless draw with Slavia Prague. Plenty more games as well. Rangers, late penalty as they complete the comeback, 4-3 over Antwerp. Napoli falling 2-0 to Granada. Ajax, play drama there as well, 2-1 over Lille.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Barcelona's season today can be summed up in their big game performances, and so far it has not been good, really, outside of that Champions League group phase win over Juventus. That was way back in October. It has been nothing but suffering for Barcelona in their biggest matches, that coming to a head earlier this week in that 4-1 defeat against PSG in the Champions League. Surely the folks in Barcelona taking this all in stride. Here's the cover of Sport, who are basically waving the white flag, not just on the Champions League, but on the season itself. Time to play the kids. Talk of a rebuild well underway. The problem, though, is it's not all kids at Barcelona. There's some guys with some big numbers next to their names, not just ages, but contracts as well. Piqué, Busquets, Alba, Pjanic, haven't even mentioned Messi at 33, are all 30-plus. Puts lots of time left on their contract. Xhaka, Jules, Frank, Bravo, all still with us. Jules, on the Gavin Jules podcast earlier this week, actually the one that just dropped today, you said, and I want to get this right, no reason to think this team is going to be terrible for the next 5 years. Based on what we just saw, I got to ask you, why?
Because as Gab mentioned, and I think pointed out, you still have some talent in there. I mean, De Jong, Pedri, they're going to be really good players. You know, I think they're certainly a case for, okay, look at what you have and look at what could be good and what is definitely to change. There's still a lot of rebuild to be done. And again, like we've mentioned many times on the show, they don't have any money. So they will have to sell maybe to finance whoever they want to buy next. And whoever the new president is as well has a lot of work to do in that respect. But there's still some talent in that team. One, they need a manager, like a real manager with a real plan. And don't give me the Koeman had no plans against PSG and no plans in all those big games that we just show on the graphics. It's not okay to just give the ball to Messi and say, okay, Messi, find Alba with a diagonal like you always do, or Messi and Pedri, just do those little passes that you do and De Jong run into the box. This is not good enough. So to start with, let's get a real manager with a proper idea, and then from them, build with what you have. Build with Pedri, build with De Jong, build with Ansu Fati when he'll be back from injury. You want to keep Griezmann? No problem. Let's see what Messi does. But I still think there's talent there. There's life. But it's just overall, they're not playing as a team because I don't think they're led properly. I don't think they're set up properly. And for me, that's where all the issues start. Anyway, whose decision was it to play Piqué in that game? Come on. Do me a favor.
Frank, we talk about how big a rebuild this would be. I mean, you can go back to the 8-2. The 4-1 is bad. I mean, they are shipping goals anytime they play anybody of consequence.
Well, the thing is that you have to mention two names when you talk about the problem that they had the all game long. Is Busquets in the middle of the park and Piqué in the central defense, where those players, you know, and we all thought that they will not play every game they could, you know, all season long. We thought Busquets would be a substitute. And De Jong will take his place, and Piqué will be out maybe for a duo between Langley and Umtiti or somebody else. But the big problems are those two players. They aged, and they, I think they're not fit enough anymore, and they can't follow the rhythm of the modern football. So if Barcelona wants to rebound, they have to think about getting rid of two big leaders, big time players for Barcelona, but who has done their times and who have to maybe think of retiring. That may be the best solution for them and the best solution for Barcelona. Otherwise, they're going to be beaten for against big teams like that, like Paris Saint-Germain did, every time they play those games.
Jules, what's the market for Barcelona's older players? I mean, you said we got to move these guys on, but who's taking Piqué, who's 34 right now?
I don't think anyone, but I still think they can do a job. We saw, as much as I didn't think Piqué should have started that game, he was not ready. He hadn't played since November 21st, but you saw the leadership on the pitch. He was the only one talking, and even to the point that he had that argument with Griezmann, he had an argument with Mbappe, but you saw the leadership qualities. They're there. I'm just not sure he can do it on the whole season, especially in those big games, but you can still have him in your dressing room, and there's certainly an idea, I think, to have still those big games in your dressing room to almost pass the DNA of the team, of the club, to pass the knowledge to younger players. I think Araujo, who has a great future ahead of him, will benefit to have Piqué with him in the dressing room, with him at training. Piqué can still play some games. I don't think he can play every game, certainly not at that level. But so maybe the idea is not just to get rid of them, but they've given them new deals anyway. A lot of those players have signed big new deals with a lot of money at their age, which was crazy in the first place. But anyway, I think maybe you need to get rid of players like Dembele, who still have a market value. I don't know who is going to go for Dembele, but hey, there might be someone out there. Same with Coutinho, same with maybe Ricky Puig if you don't want to play more, Carlos Alenia, or I don't know, there's many players still there that you can sell to then use that money to rebuild. And but when I mean rebuild, you can't sign players without a direction and an idea. You just can't sign a Dembele, a Griezmann, a Coutinho just because you think they're good players and they're great names. And no, he has to have a direction. He has to have an idea behind it on what kind of team you want to build and who you're going to build that team with.
Bravo, very easy right now to continue to pick on Piqué, but let's focus in on the midfield. It used to be the strength, the identity of this team. Now you can make the case it's the weakness.
Yeah, of course. And I go back to what Jules was saying, a lack of identity in terms of how they're trying to play in midfield. Are they trying to press the ball? Are they trying to drop off when they're defending? When they get the ball, are they trying to counter-attack quickly, or are they going to try and keep the ball and build up slow attacks so they can get their wide players or their fullbacks higher up the field? There is no identity, and that's what they've got to build on, that identity. And it comes from that central midfield area as well. Exactly what do they want to play in that central midfield? Dynamic players, players that can close people down and make forward runs as well, or do they want passes off the ball? And that's where they're going to make the decisions, both with the manager and exactly what philosophy and identity they're going to have at the club.
Well, they're not happy in Barcelona. They're not happy in Italy either. This is the cover of Tutto Sport, the front page. Cristiano Ronaldo, so upset after the match against Porto, thought he should have had a penalty late, didn't get the call. Robbo, this doesn't change the fact that Juventus gave up a goal in the first minute of each half against the Porto team and is now once again with Cristiano Ronaldo, who they brought to win the Champions League, left himself a big mountain to climb.
Well, first of all, go to the goal they gave away. I was always told as a player, you have to earn the right to play, and particularly when you're trying to play out from the back. You can't just play out from the back and think the opposition are going to let you do that. And they caused Porto won the ball back, they scored their goal, and they're 1-0 down. But I thought Andrea Pirlo made a big mistake right at the start of the game, and I've seen it happen many times. Ronaldo, he played up front and he played Kulusevski sort of in a position slightly behind him. And when Ronaldo is told to play up front, he does everything but play up front. He goes to the left, he goes to the right. Kulusevski's not then going to play at centre forward. So they had no target man. So it was no surprise they started to get back into the game when Morata came on and they had some shape to their team. He's done it on two or three occasions, Andrea Pirlo. He thinks that Ronaldo will play up front by himself and somebody will play off of him. It doesn't work when he does that. He's got to play Morata and Ronaldo off of him.
Frank, we saw it 2 years ago against Ajax. We saw it last year against Lyon. Juventus just continues to struggle in these early round knockout matches.
Yeah, that's a problem. Well, you know, only one team is going to win the Champions League, and we are all ready to see some big team being kicked out of the Champions League. And it's going to be a disappointment, of course, for Juve. But I'm not sure that, especially this season, they have the team to win the Champions League. If we compare with Bayern Munich, if we compare with Manchester City, but we all can agree that they are the two contenders for the and the two favorites for the win. I don't think Juve is really there. You know, defensively, they make so much mistakes. They don't work together. They count on Ronaldo to make something fantastic to win a game. It doesn't work like that anymore. That's the only problem that some teams have. Barcelona have Messi. Paris Saint-Germain have Mbappé and Neymar. Juventus have Ronaldo. Where the two last champions of Europe were a team and not individuals. That's the only problem that they have to resolve. And if you want to win a Champions League, you have to win it united. That's a message that I want to send to clubs and to medias as well. We all want to make, you know, put individuals on top of anything else. It doesn't work like that. Football doesn't work like that. And every time I see teams not having a plan because they count on their stars, it doesn't work anymore.
Come on, Frank. We're just trying to get clicks over here. That's all. Plenty more on the Gavin Jules podcast. Plenty more on Juve, Champions League, Europa League. The boys covered all. Their latest episode dropped Thursday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tough to beat Thursdays, isn't it, Shaka, man? We got the Europa League, we got your power rankings, some frantic tabulations this week as all 16 Europa League games taken into consideration. The algorithm, as you say, stretched
it was
to its limit. It was. And yet we still have Manchester City in there at number one in Shaka Hislop's power rankings. Why don't you explain to us the rest, Shaka, then, of your top 10?
It was a tough week, Sabi. I'll tell you why. I've got to read this off. Bayern drew, Lille drew, Atletico Madrid drew, Lyon, Juventus, Olympiacos, AC Milan, Tigres all lost. They're out. Chelsea back in, still undefeated. Was that 4 or 5 wins and a draw under Tommy Tuchel? So they're in. Eintracht Frankfurt are back in after putting together a good run. Rangers, after drawing last week against Hamilton, they win and then win the Europa League. Come from behind win. Atleti still top, so despite their dropping points, they're still top in Spain.
But definitely not as good as Prague.
Slavia Prague are undefeated in the league this season and then got a draw at home to Leicester City. That's worthy of being in the power rankings. I had to plug them into the old algorithm this week. Ajax, they come from behind and win. The rest speaks for itself.
You say that every
week. That's as good a power rankings. It's a tough week. And let me tell you, the Google algorithm was tested.
I bet.
Took a lot of coffee for the Google algorithm.
I'm disappointed not to see Tigres in there. You know, my Mexican side was in there for 1 week and you booted him out. Let's get some real perspective here, though. We got Frank, we got Rabo, we got Jules.
What do you mean by real perspective?
Jules, any complaints?
No.
So for once, I like a lot of the choices that Shaka made. I love Sporting there. I love Slavia. I love Ajax. I love PSG, of course. Why Frankfurt and not Wolfsburg? Frankfurt unbeaten in 6, Wolfsburg unbeaten in 8 in the Bundesliga. Not so sure. And Atletico, I mean, they drew against Celta. They almost drew against Granada. They drew again in the last game. I'm not sure Atleti deserves to be 7. That's really high.
Rabo, are you going to be as complimentary as Jules?
No.
Well, I always think that what's his name?
Shaka.
Oh, I can't even. Shaka.
Shaka.
You know, I always think that Shaka knows everything there is to know about football and every team in Europe.
Ranking.
I mean, he's absolutely brilliant. But, Olympiakos, what have they done wrong, Shaka?
Huh?
I ask you about Olympiacos every week. You always put them in, and they only drew and they're out.
Last weekend. Oh. They lost.
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's, I just wanted a reason why they were out, because, you know, they're always your favourite team, I thought.
Oh. I give you a reason.
Frank, a final word?
Frank loves it.
I want to congratulate Xhaka.
Thank you very much.
I mean, I'm very happy with all the names I've seen. It's very balanced. It's only fair. And I have nothing to add. And I'm very sorry, Sebi, for Tigres. But if Gignac doesn't score, that club doesn't win. That's right. The only thing you can say.
Totally.
Vive la France. Totally. Thank you very much.
Yep, we were going to get a Liga MX mention in there, but it had to come with a Frenchman.
Got it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Jules. Thank you, Frank. Thanks, Robbo, as well. The crew is back for extra time. We're taking your questions straight off of Twitter. Join us.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Norwich and Brentford right now in the automatic promotion spots in the championship. Watford in there in fourth. Again, a reminder, the championship available to you exclusively here on ESPN.
Don't forget to mention Reading in fifth, the mighty Reading in fifth.
Your former employers, Reading in there in fifth. Watford against Derby County, one of Craig Burley's former employers.
Yeah.
Wayne Rooney's current team, who are currently in 17th. That is Friday, 2:45 p.m. Eastern time. On ESPN Plus. You got your Reading plug in there. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. That was an oversight on my part.
It's all right. I'll pick up your slack.
You'll allow it. Plenty to come in extra time. We get into injuries, all sorts of injuries. We get into France at Euros, and we get into every possible penalty debate that could have ever been had. Fair to say?
Yeah, I think that's
right. That sums it up.
Yeah.
It's Robbo, it's Jules, it's Frank, it's Xhaka, and it's your questions. Extra time starts now. Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this Thursday edition of ESPN FC's Extra Time. Xhaka Hislop, just barely able to contain it.
I wait for that every extra time.
I know. It's not like I do it every time either, so it definitely doesn't catch you by surprise. We got Robbo and
I was
Frank
gonna do him a little bubbly
and Jules with us as well. I actually don't think I put Jules on the tweet about Extra Time, so I'm sure I'll be hearing about that from the bosses.
Well, you'll be hearing about that from
and
Jules.
From Jules, too, of course. Yeah, probably his buddies, Ney, and all those guys. Greasy. Frank, thoughts on the altercation?
It's your loss. It is my loss.
Frank, your thoughts on the altercation between Piquet and Griezmann? Of course, a lot made of this in the aftermath of Barcelona's 4-1 loss against PSG.
Nothing much to say. You know, it can happen. You are smashed by the opponent. You're getting upset. And it can happen. It can happen. As long as they talk about it, maybe in the dressing room after, it's their own business. I'm not worried about the fact that they insulted each other. And they were going to be enemies for the rest of their lives. I don't believe that. Mm. It happened to me where I was very upset to one of my teammates, and 5 minutes after the game, we are the best friend in the world. So it doesn't mean anything for me.
Jules, you know Greasy. You think you'll be upset?
No, I don't think so. I think those things happen a lot. It's just that we can hear everything now because there's no fans. But trust me, even when there's fans, that happens all the time, and we don't notice it because we can't hear it. So I don't think it's a problem. They were struggling. I think Piqué, as we said on the show, he's the leader of that team, no doubt. And I think he's always talking, and he wanted to show to Griezmann that not helping defensively, not keeping the ball a bit better was a problem. And I think at every level in football, when you've got that kind of frustration, that's how you shout. That's how sometimes you speak to another teammate. And like Frank said, after the game, it's forgotten. Mm.
Sometimes in our pre-show prep, things will get intense.
Prep, you see?
I was going to make a joke, but it wasn't better than the one you just made, so we'll leave it there. What's the point of VAR when you don't look at that tackle on Ronaldo? Asks Alex. Stonewall penalty. No. Frank, did you think it was a penalty against Ronaldo late in that game against Porto?
No, for me it wasn't, because the thing is, even if the opponent comes to onto Ronaldo, Ronaldo already falls when he makes the dribble and feel that he can get the ball back. So he starts yelling before the player touches him. So therefore, for me, it's intentional from Ronaldo, so it's not a penalty.
Robbo, opinion divided on this one, at least when I looked online and all the Ronaldo fanboys were going wild. What'd you think?
Well, I'm not a Ronaldo fanboy, as you just called him, but I would have given the penalty because I don't think the defender is actually he's actually facing the wrong way, and he impedes Ronaldo. Ronaldo was going down, but there was still a foul there, and I would have given a penalty on that occasion.
Jules?
I'm with Robbo. I thought it was a pen. I thought watching it as live on the television, straight away I thought it was a pen. And then with the replays, I still think that it was a pen. It was nowhere near the ball, the defender. And clearly there was contact as well. And Ronaldo was going for the ball. I mean, I don't know. I thought this one could easily have been given.
All right, very well. I've just been told I got a great quote from Andrea Pirlo in my email. So I'll get to that in a second. But he said it was a clear penalty. I know he said that. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, he said it was a clear penalty. I think the referee said the game was over and Pirlo's retort
was... That was the explanation
of
Pirlo.
You can go back and check, which is
true,
correct.
Right?
And we've seen that happen. Yeah. Manchester United benefited from a penalty that the ref overturned after the final whistle went. I thought it was a penalty as well. I will say this in the referee's defence, though. He allowed a lot of physicality in this game, more so than I've seen at any Champions League game for quite some time. And we've always made this point that league games are often refereed very differently from Champions League games. So while I thought this was a penalty, I thought the referee allowed a lot to go all game long anyway.
Next question about another penalty late in the match. Sevilla Dortmund, Luke de Jong got kind of pulled down in the box. You think that was a pen?
I didn't. I didn't think he was getting to the ball. I didn't think. On first look, well, maybe second look, when I saw one replay, I didn't think. From what I saw, I don't think Luke de Jong is getting to the ball. And if that's the case, if he's not getting there, unless it's dangerous play, I don't give it.
Frank, did Sevilla deserve a penalty late?
Yeah, it's for me a clear penalty in the way that the defender doesn't even look at the ball. And he only tries to grab De Jong and to make sure that he doesn't go to the ball. So for me, it's a clear penalty.
Robbo?
Absolutely. And I'd just like to ask Xhaka. So it's not a foul if somebody grabs hold of somebody and that person wasn't quite going to get to the ball. You can foul off the ball. It doesn't really matter because that's a clear penalty.
I don't think so. I think two players are tussling. One clearly isn't getting to the ball. Well, neither of them get to the ball.
Right.
Let it play.
The two players tussling is a bit of it's a generous way to describe that. Who haven't we heard
tussling
from yet?
My
Jules, penalty or no?
Yeah, I thought it was a penalty. And I think Thomas Meunier should maybe try basketball. He might be better at basketball than he is at football. Certainly defensively. That looked like a proper... Let's go and block you.
I'm good at basketball.
Jules, what about the penalty called against PSG? You think that was a penalty?
I mean, no, as a PSG fan, I didn't think so. I was outraged at the television. Of course, Kruzawa clips the heel of De Jong, and then De Jong with his heel clips his own leg, his second leg. I think Kruzawa is looking at the ball the whole time to head it. I'm not even sure the ball gets to De Jong anywhere, because between Kimpembe and Kruzawa, I think one of them
heads
the ball out. Yeah, exactly. But that's why it was given, and we've seen them given so many times that, yeah, I think he's right to give it. But if you give this one, give the one when Griezmann walks on Mbappe's foot. That's in the box. It's a very similar contact, and I don't know why you give one and not the other in that case.
Robbo, where'd you come down on the PSG penalty?
It's a 50-50 call. The referee decided it was a penalty and he wasn't going to change his mind when he looked at VAR. So I'm going to sit on the fence in that one. Really? Anyway.
Frank, you make a call.
I wouldn't have given a penalty because I see Kurzawa on the replay, you know, not trying to do anything against De Jong. He plays the ball
and he doesn't make any foul. Intent doesn't matter.
It's a... Okay, but I agree with Jules. Why don't you give a penalty against Griezmann as well? Because he stamped on Mbappe. It's even worse a foul than Kurzawa on De Jong, who only think about getting the ball away. And don't forget that Kurzawa gets the ball and put it in the corner. So he doesn't care about De Jong, he plays. I can accept that the referee can give a penalty. And it doesn't matter because Paris won 4-1. But you have to give a penalty against Griezmann as well.
Robbo, why is Rashford so inconsistent in front of goal with his decision-making and other stuff? He did score today, but missed probably what most people
score.
Would describe as
He did score, but he made some... Yeah, he made a couple of real howlers when he was going through one-on-one. I don't think he quite composes himself when he's running through on goal. He likes to run round it, as Thierry Henry used to do, and bend it into that far corner with his right foot. But he doesn't always get it right, and sometimes he hits it too close to the goalkeeper. I just think he lacks that little bit of focus when he's running onto the ball and a little bit of composure. It's nothing to do with technique, because he's got great technique. He's just got to make better decisions right at the last moment. Just compose himself, be cold and clinical, and I'm sure he'll score more goals.
Sebi, what I want to say about Rashford is he's a fantastic player. I didn't want to play against those kind of players because they go so fast, technically unbelievable. The only thing with Rashford is he's not a killer. Yeah, no, I remember Mourinho talking to Benzema about that you want to do nice things, you know, and you don't, it's like you're a little bit easygoing, sloppy in a way, which I'm sure he's not. But he has to become a killer because he has everything to become one of the best strikers in the world. He's very close to that. But he can score, I'm sure, the double of goals that he had scored so far.
Frank, who does he remind you of as a player?
Nicolas Anelka. Clearly Nicolas Anelka. I mean, I played against Nicolas when he played for Arsenal and when he played for Paris Saint-Germain. The pace... The cleverness of the positioning, everything. And Nicolas had kind of the same problem, a consistency of scoring goals, of being a killer. You know, that's a question you have to have. Do you prefer Shearer, who is not very elegant, wasn't very technical, but was a killer, a kind of a crazy finisher? Or do you prefer to have a Rashford or Anelka, who can show you something fantastic but doesn't score or don't score most every time they have a chance to? I don't know. It's a debate. But I love Rashford like I loved Anelka.
You played against Anelka. Good comparison.
I don't know if I played against Anelka. I can't remember playing against Anelka. What years were Anelka at Arsenal?
98-99.
I guess I did play against Nicolas Anelka.
97 through 99.
I had no problems with Anelka at all.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, easy.
Sounds like it. Read the story about Wenger stating that Arsenal almost signed Mbappe for free when he was at Monaco. Do you guys have any stories where your clubs missed out on signing a great player during that player's formative years? You're laughing, Shaka.
It's not to the question, not during his formative years, but Papa Diop, who died recently.
Yeah.
I was at Pompey. He was about to sign for Portsmouth. So he came down. He came down to Portsmouth. I was staying in the hotel. We went. Harry always used to take us to Exeter, which is way down in the west coast of England for pre-season. So we're there for pre-season, and all of a sudden, Peter Story, the managing director, shows up at the hotel, at the training camp. And Harry's like, what are you doing here? He's like, well, come to join, you know, just come to see everybody. So he's like, where's Papa Diop? He's like, well, I left him at the hotel. And Harry's like, are you crazy? We haven't signed him yet. You cannot leave him there. And sent Peter Story back. And this is a 3-4-hour drive. By the time Peter Story gets back to the hotel in Portsmouth, Papa Diop is in Fulham, signed for Fulham.
Wow. Credit to Fulham. Like,
yeah.
Good work.
Yeah.
I'm not even
so
mad.
So talk
I'm
about
impressed.
Missing out on a player.
Frank, any from your memory bank?
I remember, you know, talking about Mbappe. Mbappe and his father agreed about that, almost signed for Caen. He had Real Madrid, he had so many other clubs. I guess he had all the clubs in the world. But I think he found Caen quite a good club for Kylian to start. And, well, I don't know what happened, you know. And he went to, I guess, Monaco. Maybe Jules knows better that about that. But for me, the big story of well, you know, I had a try in Metz, who are in League One. I was told because I wasn't picked by Metz at the end of the try, like I wasn't picked by Marseille at the end of the try when I was young, that they absolutely rejected Michel Platini in Metz, and he signed for Nancy. So, wow. They only miss maybe one of the best players in the world. And I was really stunned when I was told the story. Because how can you miss Michel Platini? That's crazy.
Hey, Frank. What do you think about France's chances at the Euros this year with Mbappe performing well recently?
Again, I explained, you know, before that I'm fed up, you know, talking about one player in a collective sport. But I guess it's a plus. For sure, it's a plus to have Mbappe in the form that he is right now. And of course, I guess France is the favorite of the European Championship after winning the World Cup. But what's going to happen alongside him? You know, Pogba, Griezmann, Kante. What kind of form they're gonna be at? You know, Giroud's gonna play at front, or is gonna be somebody else? You know, so many question marks. The only one who can be persuaded now that he's gonna win the European Championship is maybe Didier Deschamps, maybe. But I don't have the answer now.
Why do newly promoted teams start to sign players to kick off their new season while neglecting, Shaka, some of the players who played a key part in their promotion? Do you think it's unfair to them?
I'm not sure unfair is the right word. It's kind of part of the business.
If you get a team promoted, you're
no,
kind of
no,
bitter.
Yeah, you know. No, to that point, though, what I'm saying is if you're in a team and they sign somebody else in your position, you accept that. You don't see it as being unfair. That's just kind of the nature of the business. That being said, you understand clubs wanting to sign players because you feel you need new players, you need a bigger squad, maybe you need a little bit more quality if you don't feel your squad has the quality. But I think there's real value in showing faith with what you have and who got you up. If you want to add to that sparingly, fair enough. But I am not a firm believer in this, where we get promoted, we need to sign 9 or 10 new players and figure it out from there. Add 3 or 4, 5 if you want to push your boat out, but you've got to keep the nucleus of your old squad together. Otherwise, you disenfranchise the majority of that dressing room.
From a manager's perspective, Robbo, kind of a fine line, isn't it? You can either reward the guys who got you up with some faith, or, you know, you got to get better.
Well, you don't reward players. They're either good enough to play or they're not good enough to play. But what a lot of managers and coaches and clubs do wrong is that they then go and buy what they call Premier League experience. But most of those players they get that have got Premier League experience aren't better than the players they've already got, and they're on their way down. That's the big mistake that most clubs make and most managers make, thinking that these players are going to be better than the ones they've already got. The other players are not too happy about it, and it doesn't build great team spirit. And Frank's just talked about you have to have great team spirit and you have to do well as a team. That's the problem they make.
All right, last question. Do you still feel the effects of injuries that you suffered during your career? We'll save you for last. Frank, how are you feeling?
Kind of dismissive.
I had the chance to not have any surgery all my career long, except my nose, because thank you, Mr. Shearer, he broke it twice, but he's been broken four times. But and I couldn't breathe on one side. So, but otherwise, I was pretty fortunate. Well, I guess my ankle and one of my quad that I completely wrapped, but after my career, but because of many injuries during my career. But yeah, I had 16 times that I torn my my right ankle and 15 times on the left side. So wow. In winter, yeah, it's quite weak.
Frank's in great shape, though. Rabo's in great shape, too. So if you're in pain, Rabo, it certainly doesn't show.
Well, I have to manage an injury that after an operation that I should never have had. I think there's only two people in the world that have ever had the operation. It was called a pubic symphysis fusion, and they realised that the operation is a failure. It shouldn't be. It should never have taken place. Mm. And I have the problems from it, because my back does all the work rather than my pubic symphysis. So my back always goes out, but I have to manage it. So it's always there with me.
Ah, I hate to hear that. Jules, you played in what, the fourth tier of French football? Were they rough?
Yeah, but not for long, so I'm cool with injuries.
Jules feels great.
I was thinking about making up something. I was thinking about the joke, yeah, my right ankle, I mean, 12 times. You know, I had surgery in Italy with Marco Van Basten, same time, more or less. But now it's okay. But I could not come up with anything good, so no, sorry.
Shaka?
Yeah?
You're creaking all over the...
All over the
newsroom, all over the studios. We can hear you coming from...
Let me see. My back's no good. I think that's kind of just...
You're part, tall. That's part, tough on
exactly, the
back,
that's part
too,
of right? the course with ex-players, as Rob was explaining there. My hamstrings I've got issues with. Again, that's kind of par for the course. I have a plate in my left ankle from when I broke it in 2000. That's not fun, no. And most recently, I can't throw. Any throwing action and my shoulder goes.
Your shoulder's just shot.
My shoulder's just shot.
But
that's more recent. That is only developed over the last 12 or 18 months.
What are you throwing?
I throw rocks and things.
Do you?
Yeah.
Let's not admit to anything else then. Let's just wrap this extra time up before we find out where those rocks landed. Well, that's it for us. Thanks to Jules, Frank, Rabo. Thanks to all you for sending the questions. Thanks to Shaka as well. We will be back with another edition of ESPN FC on Friday. Join us then.